Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How you doing, Los Angeles? It's your girl, Monique Leray. Sorry we're a little late today. We had some technical issues. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a beautiful Sunday in Southern California, and I hope you're doing well. Today I have our money badass from the South, Christina Charpentier-Biddle. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Doing great, Monique. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and I think you're in another storm today. Is that right? Oh, my gosh.
Honey, my life is a storm. Welcome to my life.
I mean, I feel you. I mean, we're all kind of weathering some storms, and, you know, I've lost count. I think we're in, like, week 7 now. I mean, what week are you in with the pandemic?
Actually, I think we're about in week 8 or 9.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
tell
I mean,
me. Well,
do what, honey?
Okay, great. So 8 or 9 weeks. I know that we first checked in with you when we first all got into this thing, and you did some research. Mm-hmm. For those viewers and listeners, well, listeners today that weren't familiar with your first interview, could you recap and just kind of tell us what you've kind of found out from all the legislation and the bills that you've read?
Well, pretty much everything. First of all, let's start with unemployment, because that's the biggest thing on everybody's mind right now is how do I get my unemployment? Do I have to pay taxes on my unemployment? Things like that. And that's honestly one of the biggest things that's affecting individuals, whether it be sole proprietors or whether it just be, you know, the employee of the company.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are needing their money. But the thing about it is, I can't stress this enough. Even if you get denied unemployment, keep certifying every week. Keep doing your weekly certifications, because that initial denial letter is from the state, and that's for your state benefits if you get denied. Now, but okay. The thing about it is, once you file for state, it automatically files you for the PUA, the pandemic unemployment money, which is the $600 a week.
Okay, so you get the additional $600 a week, which people need.
Right. Right. And see, the thing about it is, when they see that denial letter, that initial denial letter from the state, they think that's from everything. No. What will happen is, you won't get a letter from the federal government. You'll just wake up one morning, if you keep recertifying every week, and there'll be some money in your bank account.
Well, that sounds,
that's,
I mean,
that's the way I'm finding it, it is. But it's one of those things where it'd be nice if people knew that they were going to have a check in the bank, so that they wouldn't fret and worry so much. But, you know, just make sure you keep recertifying every week. Also, make sure that you are paying at least 10% in federal taxes. Generally, anywhere between 3% and 4% for state will do. Generally, you need to check with your local state tax accountant so that they can steer you on that one, because every state is different, and every county municipality. But just make sure you are putting some of it back for taxes. As far as the $1,200 to $2,400, depending on whether you're single or married, filing jointly, if you did not get your stimulus, or if you do not get your stimulus check in 2020, or if it was short, then when you file your taxes in 2021 for tax year 2020, you will be able to recoup what you didn't get.
Wow. Okay, good.
So for the people who right now, because I know that this is a question that everybody is asking, well, where's my check? Where's my check? Well, I haven't got mine either, y'all. So where's my check? So just know that the government is doing what they can to get the stimulus checks out. Another thing, too, is I read that the IRS is also employing a third-party company to send out some stimulus money in the form of debit cards.
Okay, great.
Well, but the thing about it is, do not mistake this for junk mail. In one of those little plastic cards, you know, the little fake credit cards they send you in the mail. Do not mistake it for that. Make sure you read the enclosed information to make sure that that is not your stimulus check that you're getting ready to shit can. Because, I mean, that's how I found out about it is I read an article, then I actually heard testimony. So just keep that in mind. Now, also, you know, pretty much that's it. There's not been a new stimulus package to make it through the House and the Senate and get passed. They are working on that. So I don't really want to go into what's possibly in that. Let's wait till we have facts. But I had a couple of things that I did want to cover.
Okay, go for it.
Today, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Today I was wanting to cover pretty much a lot of people, their businesses are new, they're fresh, and they've never seen economical hard times like, well, none of us have ever seen this because we're getting ready to hit one serious recession. Now, a recession,
do you think it's a recession, Christine, or do you think it's a depression? I mean, there is a difference, right?
Right now, we're stroking a depression, but we're going to call it a recession.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, we are really stroking a depression. A recession, by definition, is a period of temporary economic decline in which your trade or your industry is reduced. Generally, that is identified by two consecutive quarters of your GDP falling. And we have had two consecutive quarters because the end of last year, that just really bottomed out. Then we're working on, we finished up the first quarter of 2020, and actually we're heading into another one. So we're really getting ready to hit some, I dare to say, impressive times. That is really not a great word, but it is of all. These are times that many of us have never seen, which is why I want to cover how to help your business survive a recession these days.
I love this.
These are my opinion.
Yep, and just for the listeners, GDP is gross domestic product. So whatever your gross domestic product is, the monetary measure of the market value of final goods and services produced in a specific time period. So go ahead, give us your pointers.
Okay. So here we go. Girl, I'm impressed. I'm telling you what, you can do this. The GDP, not many people. I'm impressed. You describe that to a T.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you more about that later, but go ahead.
Okay. Some of the, what a business needs to do is basically focus on their core competencies. What did you start the business with? You know, scale back on expenses for your weaker products or your weaker services that your company offers. Things that aren't really generating enough income and you're spending the money you're spending there would best benefit you on what is stronger. Now, and another thing, too, when I say that is based off what you already have, what performs well. See if you can't reinvent that a little bit. Make it look fresher. Make it look nicer. Make it bring some more appeal and demand to your product or your service. You need to reinvent yourself in these times.
I love that.
And also, too, look at your area. Yes, look at your area. What is good in your, do you have retirees? Do you have boomers? Do you have, you know, what age group do you have? What are their demands? What is your supply? Because that right there, you know, that right there, that's your profit margin. Identify new market demands also for your product. I mean, over time, younger generations start to move in, so you need to tweak things. Now's the time to start tweaking. Continue marketing. I understand that times are tight, but there are so many ways to market online free, free of charge. Go start working on your Facebook, your Twitter, your Snapchat, your Instagram. And one thing that people don't do anymore, and I am guilty of this as well, call your clients, call your customers. Don't just, send them an email saying, hey, how are you doing? But then, follow up with a phone call and say, I want to catch up. It's easier to keep the clients you have and cheaper than it is to go out and to explore and try and buy, as I call it, new clients. Because that's all you're doing with advertising is you're buying clients. So if you can save some of that money by beefing up what you already have, then you have, you've actually accomplished two goals. Because word of mouth is.
Sorry to cut you off, but I love what you're saying because people really need to digest that. Start with the base that you have and see if you can add value, circle back around and ask them what their needs are, and reinvent. So I love those points.
And and another thing too is here's a prime example of that. The other day, my boyfriend and I, we stopped by a place and because we were wanting to know who was cutting their tree. Word of mouth. We talked to the owner of the home who paid the tree contractor to cut the tree. It's word of mouth. That's free. That did not cost a bit of advertising dollars there. So call your prior customers. Those are your loyal ones. Those are the ones that will give you the best reference. And offer a VIP, like if you offer a particular service, okay, well, your service is $49.99. Well, in this economy, $49.99 might be unachievable for some people, but if you offer them, say, $39.99 for 2 months, and then they can have their carpet cleaned, three times, give them an economy discount on a service they already like so that you can bring your price down for those in a different price range. But then you have your clientele who is a little higher end. You can add a VIP additive or whatever to their package and sweeten the deal so you can charge them more, basically.
Absolutely. Add value.
Exactly. Offer the prepaid discount because it's all about the cash flow. You need your cash flow now. Offer prepaid discount. Offer cash pay only discount.
Okay.
In lieu of having to pay the merchant service fees for doing credit card. You need to protect your cash flow as much as you possibly can. Notice everything I said is cutting cost. Somehow it's cutting a cost. We are protecting that cash flow because it's not going to last forever. It just all depends on how good you are at reinventing your business on how long you last. That's why you need to listen to your clientele. What do they want? What do they need? Show your customers that you're there for them. And some other ways, I want to go into protecting your cash flow. For the small business owners, this is for pretty much the small business owners.
Okay.
You can apply for small business grants, which would be tax-free most. You could borrow in 2020 up to $100,000 off of your 401k to help keep your business afloat without paying the 10% penalty, and then you have a certain amount of time to put it back without any penalty as well. And you don't have to pay cash on that either because, in essence, you're borrowing from yourself.
Okay.
Also, too, if you own your own business and you have a contract and you have agreed to pay a certain amount, for a certain product to a vendor, see if you can't renegotiate that contract. See if you can't do something to maybe lower your cost. Also, too, look for equal payment plans on your utilities or whatever you can, something that will save you money in the long run,
I like that.
These are just things. And another thing too, a lot of credit cards right now are offering 0% until 2021, late 2021, and possibly into 2022 for some of them. If you have a credit card, and I don't care if it's even 1% interest, if somebody is issuing credit cards at 0% for balance transfer for up to year 2022, it might be in your best interest to look at going to a 0% to get it paid off, because that way you're saving money and paying off your balance faster. That's another way to save money.
Okay, so now we've got 5 minutes left on the segment. I'm sorry to have cut in because we had difficulties. Can you just help people understand the status not available? I even went on the IRS website and I looked. Status not available, we're working on it, but you're probably not eligible. It's a frustrating thing when you're like, where's my stimulus check? What has been your experience with your clients with that?
Well, I've had no experience with the IRS because they're currently not answering the phone. My experience with my clients have been just please be patient. That the IRS is so frustrating right now. They can't seem to get their systems working properly. The only thing I can tell people and what I tell my clients is this. I will keep checking on my end, which means I keep calling the IRS every day to see if they're answering the phone, because that is my only back door. So whatever the computer is telling people, I know it's frustrating. I know it sucks. But us as your tax accountants and your CPAs and your EAs, there's nothing we can do about it other than just keep trying to call the IRS ourselves and fax things into them. That is it. We have no backdoor entry either.
Yeah, and it seems like, some people are getting these, some people are getting checks, but they're also getting letters, and it doesn't really match up. So we'll have to be patient and see. Did you hear anything about the next round of stimulus? Do you know anything about that?
No, everything right now is being put on hold. As a matter of fact, that one that the House came out with kind of just went dead, as we know. But they are still working on one. I was reading on the plane today that they are working on a stimulus package because they know that we've got to have one.
That's good news.
The details. Yeah, I mean, they know that we've got to have one. They know that the economy is in crisis. It's in free fall right now. And, you know, I tell people this too. If you've got $50 to $100, and you want to put it somewhere, go to your local bank or credit union and start buying some stock. Even if you only buy one at a time. Or go buy a CD. Put your money in a CD or money market. Interest rates will go up. The economy will get better because America always heals herself.
Right. Okay.
And I want everyone to be prepared when the economy starts getting better. They're in a good position. And they've taken some of this money that they've gotten off unemployment and their stimulus and put it to work for them in investment accounts.
I love that. So let's close out. Give us some more pointers before we have to go. We have about 2 or 3 more minutes, and I'm sorry it's so rushed.
No, I'm so sorry for this. Another thing, too, for your small business people that own your business, I know I threw out a lot of ideas today. If you have an assistant, you need to delegate some of these responsibilities to your assistant so that you, as the business owner, can focus on the future and the things at hand.
Good advice.
So don't try and do it all yourself because you can't, because with all the worry and the stress now, delegate and assign if you can. Even if it's to your spouse, put them down at the kitchen table and make them go through bank statements.
always lovely to hear from you with practical advice. I think we have to have you back in 2 weeks so that you can tell us more about what to invest in and those little things that do add up. Maybe that would give people comfort. Put $50 here out of your unemployment, and then maybe in a few months it'll feel better. I think we need more of that talk.
And I have also scheduled a meeting this coming week with my financial advisor over the phone, so I will pick his brain, too.
Well, we just love it. Thank you so much for holding it down on the East Coast and the South. And you guys, if you want to, if people want to connect with you, you know, you can go to her Instagram. Give them your Instagram, Christina.
It is Tax Queen One, I believe. But my office phone number is 910-571-1092. I can be reached by email, premieravc1@gmail.com. Also, Twitter. It's premieravc1.
Beautiful. And Christina
Thank
is
you
nationwide.
So much for having me, Monique.
I'd love to have you. She's nationwide. She's 24/7. Reach out to her, text her, message her, email her, and we'll talk to you real soon in 2 weeks. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Stay safe.
You too. All right, you guys.
Bye.
Christina, bye-bye. Christina is amazing. She is one of our resident money people. And we're going to switch gears here now, and we're going to get my wine expert on, my sommelier friend, Leah Solberg of Michael Solberg Family Wines. And while we get her on the line, I just want to give a shout out to my sponsors and say thank you so much for everything that you guys do. Control Alt Gin, she's a life coach and a nurse. You can reach her at 605-376-1656 if you're going to take this time to look at your life and re-examine it, may it be business or personal. She's there to help you. Also want to give a shout out to Michael Solberg Family Wines, michaelsolbergfamilywines.com. You know, they've got wines under $25 that are really reasonable.
Hello?
And hi, I think we've got Michael Solberg Family Wines. Leah Solberg, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing good. We're hanging in there. And I think you're calling in from Oregon. Is that right?
Well, I'm up in Oregon, but our facilities are located in Napa. So I go between Oregon and Napa nowadays because we are expanding our business into Oregon wines as well.
That's exciting. Well, everybody needs a glass of wine these days. Tell us a little bit about, for the people who didn't hear your first interview a few months back, tell us a little bit about your family's wine and what you have going.
All right. Well, we're a second generation family run and operated winery. My father, Michael Solberg, who our label is named after, started the business. Well, he started in the wine business in the 70s. First, here in Oregon, with vintage house merchants. And then he later moved to Healdsburg, 1980, and started working with Chip Leaf from Leaf Still Around. And together they started making Michael Solberg wines. And as the story goes, I took over in 2011 after working with my father side by side since 2005. He passed away in 2011, unfortunately. So I'm here carrying on the legacy and the torch of great family varietals at everyday prices, and happy to be here. We've got a Chardonnay, a Cabernet, and a Merlot, and we do special edition varietals as well, such as rosés, Sauvignon Blanc, red blends. We've done Pinot Noir in the past, so it's all a fun adventure and tradition that I get to cultivate here, so I love to do it.
And you know, full disclosure, you guys, Leah, you know, I'm kind of biased because I'm good friends with her, and she's got the best wine. We have her at all the events that we can. And, you know, if you look real closely on Saturday Night Live, you might see her bottles. You might see them at the Oscars gifting suite, at the Emmys week. So you've got a lot of stuff cooking.
I do. It always seems to be a lot of stuff in the hopper. I don't know what's going on with this year. It's been interesting, as it's been interesting for everybody. You know, my heart goes out to everybody right now with what we're all going through. My business was shut down. We just have now started being able to ship wholesale again. We were doing a little bit of direct to consumer shipping, but not much, just because we were basically shut down for 2 months. So it's nice to be getting things up and going again, certainly. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, but we want to do it safely and mindfully, you know, as we go through these next stages of, you know, what's to be expected in this, this new reality we're living in. So
that's absolutely a great point to bring up, Leah, because I'm often concerned how people in the first and second stage are doing that with no vaccine and with no testing. It is just kind of, I'm wondering how people plan to do that.
Well, for us, we're limited. We're basically, you know, running on a very small team right now. Everybody's, you know, suited up, masks, you know, very separated in the facilities, gloves, you know, we're just trying to do the best we can to keep that social distancing and the safety measures intact. We're not really open to public. Our tasting room is not open. We are doing a little bit of local pickup curbside down at the warehouse, but other than that, you know, it's a wholesale shipping with our shippers, but everybody's very mindful and very geared up. So I'm assuming that's kind of what it is across the board. Like I said, we're not even opening up the tasting room as of right now, just because there are a lot of stipulations in what that looks like and keeping facilities sanitary and okay for the public to be in.
I think that's the greatest response I've heard, and very socially responsible. So tell us, we've got about 3 minutes left. Tell us about your expansion into Oregon's Pinot Valley. If people don't know, Oregon's famous for their Pinot. And tell us about, you know, how we can reach you and how we can find you to order your wine.
Okay, well, I'm Michael Silberg Wines. My handle, MS Wines, everything on all social media platforms. Michael Silberg Wines at gmail.com. All of my information is listed on my Facebook page, Instagram page, so you can message me there as well. And yeah, as far as Oregon Wines, we collaborate with growers down in California. We've done that for over 40 years. We have growers up here in Oregon as well. We're starting to develop close ties with. And yeah, we're looking to Pinot. We're also looking to do other varietals. We'll see what those turn out to be. I'd like to expand from just doing the standard Pinot Noir. I think Oregon, while they make great Pinots, I think that we're definitely available to open up into other varietals as well. So that will be a lot of fun. So look for us in California, and feel free to reach out to us anytime.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak to you again, and I'm so glad you were able to make time. Thank you for being, you know, amazing, and your wines are amazing. And keep up the good work, and we'll be in contact with you very soon.
All right. Sounds good. You take care. Everybody take care. Cheers.
Cheers. All right, you guys. Check out Leah and the function of Michael Silberg Family Wines, michaelsilbergfamilywines.com. I also want to give a shout out before we get Justin on the line, who's our real estate guy. He's the two tattooed guy. He's going to be on in a moment. I want to say thank you to Regan Medical Spa in Newport Beach. Regan First Medical in Newport is offering a variety of anti-aging solutions for my listeners. They will receive a free confidential consultation with Dr. Sherlana Bogard. She's the leading expert in lifestyle medicine and sexual dysfunction, and treats both men and women. She's using the most advanced and safe and reliable medicine regeneratively. 949-339-3043, or visit her at regan.com. Hi, Justin. Justin Mercer's on the line.
How are you
today? We're doing
good.
Good.
How are you doing?
Thank
I
you
can't
for
see you.
I know. Thank you for rolling with the punches today on our technical difficulties.
Of course.
So why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners who you are and where you're from?
Justin Mercer from Gilbert, Arizona, and I do real estate out here. And I love every second of it.
All right. Well, Justin's not just a real estate agent. He's actually someone I just featured in an article on my communal news article. And basically, he is fully tattooed from head to toe. And he is making waves in the real estate genre of business and doing it his way. So if you guys look up Justin Mercer, tattooed realtor, you'll find a very interesting guy. Is that right, Justin?
Thanks. Yes, ma'am. You explained a lot better than I did.
So tell everybody, you know, how you got into the tattooing and how it kind of lent itself to real estate. Give us your backstory.
I've been getting tattooed since I was 15 years old, and always had an interest in real estate. I had an addictive personality and just kept building and building. Sorry, Marie, I'm trying to get the car right now.
That's okay.
I've been getting done since I was 15, and I've always loved real estate, something that's always interested me, and I've always wanted to do it, but I didn't think I could with my look. And then one day I just said, I'm going to use my look for me and just brand myself as a tattooed realtor and just kind of used it for my marketing and soon let it hold me back.
That's great. I mean, it's good to be, you know, authentic and just be genuine in like what you are, even if it is so different. And we've had conversations, you and I, about the corporate look of real estate and business and having you guys, you can't see Justin right now, but you can go to my Instagram and check him out and go to his, but he's got face tattoos. So how in the beginning for you, Justin, can you just tell the listeners what you had to, the discrimination you had to deal with? Give us some examples of it.
Yeah, I was actually, when I first joined, I got a call from a lender saying, hey, and there's a realtor in the Valley. He's really well known. He's been in the business for 40 years. He's got billboards all over, commercials, so everyone knows who he is. And he had posted a picture of me on his page and kind of poking fun at the tattoos on my face, and didn't know I was in real estate. And I had all these people with negative comments under his picture, so I kind of shared it on my page and said, hey, this is the kind of stigma I have joining an industry. Like, I'm not asking for anyone's business. I'm doing my own thing, my own marketing, but this is the way people attack me. Just out of it, you can say all these things about a person based off a picture and a picture alone. And so this is the things I'm trying to deal with. And the news got wind of that, and they did an interview of me. And I just kind of, there were some realtor pages that were like poking fun, like who would want to buy a house from him and all this stuff. And it just kind of annoyed me because I thought there'd be a lot more camaraderie between everyone. I mean, I did have a lot of support too. I don't want to pretend like it was all negative, because there was a lot of people that were supporting me too.
Well, it seems like you actually use those negative comments in some of your current postings on social media for your advantage. So you've turned a negative into a positive, getting local news, as you mentioned, and getting a lot of traction for your business. So it sounds like what was meant to kind of harm you has helped you.
Yeah, I kind of used that as like fuel to my fire. It's kind of, it drives me more and it holds me back. Because I want to prove everyone wrong. So in April, I closed $1.6 million in real estate out here. And I kind of posted a picture of that. And then I put some of the quotations from those news articles as like a background, who would buy a house from him, who would let him work for him and all that kind of stuff. And just kind of put that as like just a ha-ha. Just like I can do it. It has nothing to do with what you look. It's the way you put yourself out there.
Well, I love that you've maximized on that. Congratulations. So we've got a few minutes. We want to hear from you about the real estate market in the U.S. right now, specifically on the West Coast, because you are in Arizona and you do real estate on the West Coast. Can you tell us exactly what you're seeing? And if someone's in the market right now during a pandemic, what advice would you give them if they're in the market?
Well, Arizona, I think, is unique in its own compared to anybody. The Arizona market has not taken one single dip at all through this whole pandemic thing. It helped the people that couldn't get in homes because it was impossible. I mean, right now, if you have a VA loan or FHA loan in certain cities, which is, those are just kind of a lower end loan. If you have those loans in certain cities, you're not getting in a house because people are paying cash and conventional loans left and right, buying up everything. So it slowed down a little bit per se, but all it did was allow these people that haven't been getting in homes to actually get in homes. So we only have right now in Arizona, we have 13,000 houses on the market for sale right now. And
wow,
this time last year, there's 24,000. So that just kind of goes to show you there's like,
wow,
there's nothing on the market. And like, if you sold 20, if you're as a real estate agent, sold 20 houses last year, you're not going to do that this year because there's not enough inventory to suffice for that. So it's getting crazy out here right now.
It sounds like, you know, it's popping. I see you posting a sold sign every week. And for the listeners who don't know, Justin actually does, he does commercials and he acts and he's an extra because of the way he looks exteriorly, like with his tattoos, he's on a lot of music videos and rap videos and he plays a bad guy sometimes. So whenever you're out in LA, what have you noticed about the LA market?
Oh my gosh, how expensive it is. It's crazy for what houses go out there and people are paying them. I have a couple out here that they sold their house. They bought it in the early 90s out in California and they sold it, I think, literally for like a $400,000 increase over the span that they owned the house. So they sold their house out there for like $780,000 and they got the same sized house out here for like $300,000.
Wow.
And had all that equity in the house. And it's just crazy how expensive things are out there, but people are paying them.
So I love this. I love that there's still energy around real estate. And if you can get into something, what are some tips on people who say they have a little bit of a nest egg and they are still okay? Can you get, what's the minimum down payment someone could get in for something for like $300,000, $400,000?
Minimum down payment is 3%. You can get a conventional loan for 3% down. So if you're at a $300,000 price point, it's $9,000 down. Ticket just in the house. And I mean, that usually comes out to around $1,700 a month, which your mortgage would be. So what you're paying in rent tends to be what you can be buying the house for. Instead of, I tell people all the time. Go ahead.
Yeah. Are you finding that lenders are more open to people during a pandemic or?
What do you mean? Oh, say that one more time.
Are you finding that lenders are a little bit more lenient towards people during a pandemic or not?
So no, tightened up with the, you had to come up with a little bit more proof of funds and they stopped giving out loans, certain loans, and they were raising the credit score. So you can usually get a credit score at a 640 and get a house. Sometimes even a 500 or a 590 and above can get you a certain type of loan. But now during the pandemic, a lot of lenders raised the score. So they're not touching anything under 660 right now. And then some of the down payment assistance programs for first-time homebuyers went away. But they're starting to trickle back now.
All right. Well, it sounds really good, you know, as far as it being strong. And like you said, a lot of people are just coming in with cash and full ass. So you got to have your score together and you have to have your down payment. But where can people find you, Justin? What are you up to next? We've got 2 minutes. Go ahead and give us your handles and your email.
Email is the tattooedrealtor1@gmail.com. I try to answer emails 3 or 4 times a day so I can get back to people. But I'm on social media at @2Tattooed, @TOO_tattooed. That's my Instagram. I'm trying to get that going. So that's what I'm on mostly right now.
Can people hit you up on the cell phone as well?
Yeah, my cell phone is 602-690-8867.
All right.
And then on Facebook also as facebook.com/tattooedrealtor, the tattooed realtor.
Justin, I'm sure you've got to go show a house right now. Much love to you and your family. Please be safe out there. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much, Monique. Always good talking to you.
Always good speaking to you. All right, you guys, that's Justin. He's amazing at what he does. He's passionate about what he does, and he wants to make a deal. So if you're in the LA market, in the Phoenix market, in the Vegas market. He's your guy. He covers that area. And find him on all those platforms. So thanks for rolling with the show. I want to give a shout out to my girl, Lady Ray J at Toco Radio. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but we'll be back on Zoom next week. And you guys follow me on Instagram, Monique Lorae Stinson. That's Monique, LoreStinson. Or The Startup with Monique Lorae on Instagram. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. And you guys, be safe out there, all right? Be good to each other. And what will you start up today? Talk to you soon.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Lorae, only on LA Talk Radio.